Just do that again.
Shin Chof base. We saw the seven attributes that someone would have to have in order for you to be able to have full trust in them. It means we're talking about betochen. To have betochen in somebody where your betochen is sholev and you have menuchas hanefesh and yishuv hadas because of what you're being botayat, that entity, that person would have to have these seven attributes. And without these seven attributes, your betochen is not sholev. It's not black and white. There's a range of betochen. Well, it's not sholev. So now, the next step is to see, well, where can we find somebody like this? Where do we find the person who has these seven attributes? If you'll go and investigate and find who has, where will you find these seven attributes? His boret will become very clear to you very soon. You will not find this in any human being. All seven. One, two, three. Some. Certainly not the ones that talk about being all powerful and no one else can stop you doing anything and know exactly what's good for you. There's no human being that knows exactly what's good for you and he's all powerful and can give you whatever he wants and no one can stop him. That's for sure not. Somebody loves you and cares for you and is thinking about you. Yeah, you could find that in a human being. About these seven attributes together, you won't find in a human being. Eladim says, you'll find all seven by the Boyrim. And I'm going to run through and show you where you see all these seven attributes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as I mentioned yesterday, I'm not going to stop and analyze the Psukim and everything, but we'll just run through it and see what we come away with, because it's very important. Because the more you make real these seven attributes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the easier it becomes to have betochen. That was the first one. Should I not have mercy on Nineveh, the Ira Gedoyla? Amazing. He wasn't saying, should I not have mercy on the greatest tzaddik in the world? No. Nineveh, Ir shall destroy him, Ir shall Aveiras. Hashem says to Eov, I shouldn't have mercy on this. Nothing, we're not hidden from him. It's all open. He doesn't sleep, he doesn't rest. He's completely, totally, always involved in us. And that he knows exactly what's good for us. That's for sure. He made us. He knows exactly what's good for us. There's no one, even we don't know what's good for us. There's no one that can overpower him, can change his mind, can get him not to do what he wants. All the attributes of Gedula, Gvura, Tiferes, that's all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem in your midst is gibor, powerful, Yoshia, saves. He has been the only manik, the only entity that had anything to do ultimate with your life from the minute you conceived. Hashem, he's your father, he makes you, he guides you. There's no one else that can interfere in your life without Hashem. He's totally the only causation. David HaMelech says, I relied on you from when I was in my mother's tummy. You created me, Atagoizi. You took me out. Okay, and all the other, as I said, I'll leave you to learn Tanakh on your own over here. Fine. The benefits and the damage that happens to a person are not in the hands of anybody else. No one can help you, and no one can hurt you, and no one can do anything to you or give you anything without the Rishus of the Boira Olam. We'll discuss that at length. Well, yet you have to have clear. It's not the neighbor, it's not this, it's not him, it's not the kulu kulu, it's a Kodesh Boritu. Somebody says something and it wasn't Hashem that was mitzaver. Unbelievable, these psukim. I have to go learn these psukim because this is where you get to internalize. Certainly to heal him. Tov Hashem l'kol v'rachamav l'kol ma'asov. Naisen lechem l'chol boso ki yoylom chasto. You take Bolchi Nafshi, we read this morning. Bolchi Nafshi can change your life if you say it properly. Vosechas yadechu masbir l'kol chai ratzon. Bring a bell that potzuk. Ulamitoi shel dov en tzorech b'rayz mea psukim. Says the Chavis Lovers, but to tell you the truth, you don't need rise from the psukim. You know why? Very often, certainly in Shara Boyda said, or Kim before, the interplay between what gets you moving. Is it the Torah or is it your Seichel? He shows how the Torah machives you, your Seichel machives you. So yeah, he showed you everything. He said, now you see Psukim for. But he says, really, you don't even need the Psukim because your Seichel, it should be clear to anybody who's half awake Seichel, and you don't find these qualities anywhere in the Bria except in Hashem. Just to remind us and to mention the matters. I brought the psukim, but really you don't need them. You need your seichel. Stop and think. Go through the seven conditions. He's going to go through them himself again. And you'll see that there are not too many people running around that you can rely on. Certainly not the shleimus. No. That's what I'm saying. No, even the most loving, caring, altruistic, emistic a person or whatever may be limited. May not be able to give you what he wants to give you. And second of all, he might be the wisest man in town, but he doesn't know ultimately what's really good for you. He doesn't know that the whole of the Olam Haba for you, that's what's good for you. You don't know. It's not for your deal. Sometimes holding back 1 second from something that you think is good for you could save your life. You know, it's Moiridik when Yosef magadded himself to his brothers. So the loss of the posuk there is that he wasn't able to meet the peck anymore. He couldn't hold back anymore. And they said, Ani Yosef, which means that he was supposed to meet the peck longer. He was supposed to wait longer. Then he couldn't hold back anymore. It seems he wanted to hold back. He just couldn't. Correct? You know that? Interesting. Why did he want to cause more tzar to his brothers? He's causing his brothers untold tzar. The whole episode from the very first meeting of Yosef with the brothers is Yosef setting up the whole thing of process for the brothers. That's what he's doing. He's taking them through a reverse process of what they did to him. He's setting up the same situation for Binyamin and he's getting them to the tshuva. That's what he's doing. And he wants to hold on a little bit longer and cause him a little bit more tzav loyachol. He can't anymore. And he cries and he washes his face and he comes back and he's going through an enormous ordeal. And eventually can't hold back. He says, Ani Yosef. And then the psukim continued that he hugged Binyamin and he cried. When he hugged Binyamin, he cried. Why was he crying, says Rashi? Because he saw in Binyamin the two Batei Mikdashes that were going to be destroyed. Now you're crying on the Batei Mikdash? Now's the time to make it a Mikdash. Why wasn't he besimcha that Binyamin would be zoicha to have two Batei Mikdashes in his turf? Now you're crying. Plus, Emes opens your eyes. Yeah, it's unbelievable. The brothers needed that little extra dose of tzar, and they didn't get it. And therefore, the Batei Mikdashim had to be destroyed. Had he held on a little bit, Yosef, and caused the tzar they needed, to have the kapara they needed, the Batei Mikdash wouldn't have been destroyed.
So why was he crying?
Because he realized he was just going in the Chorban. I wasn't able to meet the pick anymore. But had they got the star they needed, there would have been the tikkun, you wouldn't have needed the Chorban. You understand how little we understand the psukim?
Oh,
you don't think? אפשר לסמוך על הסמס. בסדר, מה ידיק, לא? מה ידיק? So sometimes, well, what's it got to do with us? We don't know what's good for us. We understand the cosmic ramifications of going on in the world. Only Hashem understands that. Only Hashem understands what's playing out and whatever. And Yosef, I'm asking you, just hang in another 30 seconds. He stopped his brothers from having tzar. He gave them the biggest gift. Yeah, but it caused the chum by something that we understand those connections. No. So that's why even your seichel makes you realize because there's no one in the world with all the good, with everything, all powerful ever. But how does he know what's good for me? He was there when Hashem created the world. He understands where the world has to go. He understands what Ma'olam Abaya has to be built upon. No. So how can he help me? He'll give me something that he really thinks is good for me. It could be a korban. And he'll do something bad for me that could be the biggest broch I ever got. Therefore, the only entity that you'll find these seven conditions is in Hashem. Okay.
Practically talking, how do you do that?
Huh? How do you do what?
Practically, how do you, it's very good. Like, it's
how do you do what?
I could believe in Hashem, I could trust him.
You don't have to believe and trust in Hashem. There's no commandment to believe in Hashem anywhere in
Yiddish.
Bitochen means I am completely in Hashem's hands and I'm completely with Menuchas and Nefesh and I'm completely gone and Hashem's taking care of everything. How do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I see, that's what you do. We started. That's a journey. You start taking one small obvious place. You do what we're doing. You slowly start learning Hilchos Betochen. How do you do this? And then you get stainless, and then you work and you climb. It's a lifetime endeavor. It's probably the longest apprenticeship you'll ever do. You want to become a lawyer, the apprenticeship is 2 years. A doctor, maybe it's 3 years. You want to become a Baal Betochen, the apprenticeship is thousands of years. You sit on the journey, you stop. Take the first step. That's how you do it. We're doing that. No, I thought we did that. We're starting to do that. We're starting to become apprentice Baalei Betochen. Right now, we're just setting up the playing field. We've shown that you have to have Betochen. There's no such thing as not having Betochen. If you don't have Betochen in Hashem, you will never achieve anything. And we now understand why. Because to have Shalem Betochen, you need these seven conditions in what you're trusting. And these seven conditions you'll only find in Hashem. That's what we set up to now. Now, Kasher, that's what we're up to. Kasher goes here, borrow a lot of. When all of this is crystal clear to you, I don't know when that's going to be. I've been doing this for a while and it's not exactly crystal clear yet, but when it becomes crystal clear to you, and you will have a strong recognition of the chesed, the true chesed that the Boreh does for you. That's just a matter of sitting down and counting your blessings, which we very often forget to do. As yiftach bo, then you will have betochen in Hashem, and you will hand yourself over to his reshus. Means you'll leave things to him. Again, in the areas where it's also to have betochen, we'll get there. We're talking about the areas where it's mutter to have betochen. They're going to be things you're not allowed to give to Hashem. You have to take care of them. The yazav hanagosa b'yodah, and you'll leave all your life's events, except the ones where you're not allowed to leave. B'yodah, you'll give it over to Hashem. V'lo yityaches ledina b'chashad, ledina of b'chashad, and you won't relate to his judgments with suspicion. And you won't rebel against what he chooses to bring upon you, even though you don't want it. The cup of Yeshua, what's Yeshua?
Salvation.
I'll raise the cup of salvation. And I will sing in the name of Hashem. And on the same breath, Torah v'yod emtzo u'b'shem Hashem ekro. Dovah l'melek who's b'shem Hashem ekro, whether it's Kos Yeshua's or it's Torah v'yogon. All from Hashem, and it's all b'shem Hashem ekro. Okay. Now in Perek Gimel, the Chovas HaLevavos brings Chamesh Hagdomas hayin. Shema Adam Meivi Oysam Il Bruon. If you will understand these clearly, Umamin behem be'emes, and you'll be faithful to them. I didn't say you'll believe them. Imunah has nothing to do with belief. You have to be faithful. You have to know them and understand them, and then be faithful to those aspects that you understand. As bitchayne belokim hu sholem, then you will have betochen in Hashem sholem. And along the journey, I'm warning you now, you're going to have moments where you genuinely believe that you have betochen sholem, and then Hashem says, you've just been promoted to ketabet. And then things start unraveling again. Because you're climbing a ladder. You know how it works in school? At the beginning of Kita Aleph, you feel like a nobody. By the time you finish Kita Aleph, you think you're a big deal. And you are. Then they send you to Kita Bet, and you feel like you're back in the beginning of Kita Aleph again. But you're not. You got promoted. You're on a higher level, just at the beginning of the higher level. Spirituality works like that as well. You feel you got somewhere. You feel you achieved something in Betochen. And then suddenly you have an Israeli, you're like, hey, man, I thought I knew something about the God. No, nothing. Yeah, you've just been promoted to Kitabet. So you're on a higher level. So Shem says, I can test you more now. It's going to happen again and again. And as you feel, well, now I've got this clear. There's nothing that can wobble me anymore because me and Hashem are tight. What happens? Hashem says, another 20 kilos on the bench press, please. And then you start wobbling again, and then you climb till the top of Kita Bet, and then you get promoted to Kita Gimel. That's the process, I've warned you. Don't come crying to me. I did that the other day. I went crying to my role. I had one of those moments this week. I went to Rob, I said, I don't understand. I've been working on this for 40 years. I thought I'd achieved something. I realized I'm not holding anywhere. He said, no, you're just in Kita Bet now. I said, thanks, that's a compliment. No, and as he said it, was partial. I understood what he was saying, but sometimes you really think you're not holding anywhere. No, the test just got a bit bigger, that's all.
Should go on, you feel better.
Yeah. I thought I was holding already, you know, professor. I need to stop here, you know, I'm finished with this. I can move on to the next chapter. So Shem says, no. There's another Hakdama here, which he's not going to bring, but I'm going to bring. This is a God from Rav Pinkas Zatzal. Odmot Chashuv, Rav Taubert well speaks about this. It's one of the most important things you'll ever learn. It's a very critically important Hakdama if you want to have a Tochen. Because a Tochen at the end of the day is about a relationship. One of the things that gets in the way of our Tochen is because Hashem is so big. Hashem is so big. When you start thinking about Hashem, which is something you would do if you're working on the Tochen, sort of think about Hashem, hopefully. Right? It's hard to work on Betochen without thinking about Hashem. Some people manage, but I don't know how you do that. When you start thinking about Hashem really, you'll come to the recognition that Hashem is very, very, very big. Very big. Anybody's interested in Hubble telescopes and James Webb telescopes, the mind-boggling greatness of Hashem is just beyond. I mean, it's just beyond. And you don't have to go that far. You can just look at yourself in the mirror and realize that Hashem is way, way too big for us to get a grip on. And therefore, we get it, that gets in the way of me really and we're talking to Hashem because my little problem is just too big for Hashem. So Hashem's going to come down and grapple with these little things. It's too small. What Hashem? Hashem's busy with billions of universes and major things, you know? I mean, this world's nothing. This world is a speck of dust. It's a speck of dust in the total. It's not even an atom. Size-wise, if you look at the size of the universe, what we know about it, it's much bigger than what we know about. The scientists claim what we know about is about 10% of what's out there. And what we know about is, I mean, we can't, the mind can't grasp the God. No, you just think about how, you just eat a fruit and you're already overwhelmed by Hashem's untold greatness. So little me feels a bit disconnected from all that greatness. And it makes the talking very hard. You know what I'm saying? It resonates a bit. Hashem's massive. Hashem's big. Me, little guy. Okay, Hashem, I've got this little problem. Please help me because you don't have a choice, but you're really, really in touch with Hashem. So the secret is like this. It's a bit paradoxical, but you have to hear this. Because Hashem is so great, nothing's too small for him. It's not despite the fact that he's so great, nothing's too small for him. But because he's so great, nothing is too small for him. So those are the words. How does that manifest? So let's take an example. can you jump to the moon? No, because it's too big for you. It's too big. You can jump 10 feet maybe. Jump to the moon is just too big for you. Can you crawl into an ant hole? No, why? Because it's too big for you? Because you're too great? Yeah, you're too great to crawl into an ant hole because the ant hole's very small and you're very big. Can you jump to the moon? No, you're too small to jump to the moon. Correct. Hashem doesn't have that problem. Because Hashem is so great, he can even crawl into an ant hole in the mortal. Because he's so great, there's nothing too small for him. Give me an example. You're walking out of shul, let's say a big tzaddik, Chofetz Chaim. You walk out of shul in Radin after Ma'ariv, and the Chofetz Chaim is playing ball with a kid. So you would think to yourself, is this the place of tzaddik? Well, the Chofetz Chaim was, he's also got his, you know, he's also got his stuff like I have. You know, he's also got a tickle smallness playing ball with the kid. Correct? No. It's because the Chofetz Chaim's so great that he's able to lower himself and play ball with a little Yosem and make him feel happy. And you see that in the Gedol Yisrael. Nothing's too small for them. You got to speak to God about your little quirky little issue, whatever, and he's totally in, he's there. It's like this is the biggest cloud issue in the world. That's not big. Despite the fact that he's so big, he'll be nice to you. No, it's because he's so big, nothing's too small for him. It's a paradigm shift that you have to get into if you want to work on Bitochen. Every little thing, however small it is infinitely critical and important to Hashem. There's nothing in your life too small for Hashem not to be fully engaged in. Nothing. Because he is so great. That's the sign of greatness. It's not, well, I'm such a big tzaddik, but all right, so I'll lower myself and deal with you as well. That's not it. It's because I'm so great, your little problem, it requires my total involvement. It's an aspect of my greatness. I said it's a shtickle paradoxical, but it's not that impossible to get a grip on.
That makes sense.
And therefore, you become accustomed to talking to Hashem and discussing with Hashem and asking Hashem, even for the smallest, little, pettiest things. Because number one, you recognize that everything you have and everything you're going to get and all the help you need only comes from Hashem. No, but that's just the big things. The little things I'm sort of going to take care of myself. No, those things you have to talk to Hashem as well. And you train yourself and you practice yourself getting used to talking to Hashem. A bit embarrassing in the beginning. Talking to Hashem about the silly little, not silly, but we refer to them as silly. The silly little things, you know, that I can kind of handle myself. No, that's also you ask Hashem and you thank Hashem. Little things.
Parking spots.
Parking spots are big things, depending on where you live. In New York, parking spots, cosmic. No, you're right. No, but even less than that. You open the cupboard to get coffee. Please, Hashem, make sure there's coffee. Make sure this milk hasn't gone bad. Maybe there's little things we're dealing with in alarms all the time. You have a little crutch in your back. Hashem, before you find the doctor, Hashem, maybe you can just help me with my backache.
Just taking it. Another step. So we're saying the fact that he's so great is what allows him to do what we consider to be small.
It's not allows it. That's an aspect of his greatness that nothing's too small for him.
Okay. But it's only, can we take that one step, can I take that one step further and say, well, that it's only small by me, by Hashem, managing the whole entire universe and everything moving and dealing with my coffee in the cup.
Exactly the same. Because of his greatness. Not despite his greatness.
So when I'm thinking, I don't want to waste Hashem's time.
Correct. Excellent. That's exactly what I'm looking for. We do that all the time. This, I'm not going to bother Hashem. This is too small. This I'll deal with myself, or I'll get the plumber to take care of it or whatever. No, there's Hashem. There's Hashem happy to deal with the smallest little things you're involved with. You have to find the plumber afterwards, of course. We're not talking about each studless now. You might have to find the doctor as well and get an appointment in 6 months. In the meantime, suffer. But I'm saying that, and on the day you have an appointment, you can't get to him because someone's exercising his democratic rights.
Here, you have a field to ask him for help with the coffee because, you know, to
100%.
I don't want to say the word, but to restrict him from being able to do what he wants, what his rock on is, he's taking care of gravity, and he also
he's taking care of your ingrown toenail, and he's taking care to make sure that you have milk, and he's taking care of
everything. Well, okay,
I want to pick that up. Good. Where did you get the chiyuv from? What's your makor for chiyuv?
I just made it up.
I think, again, I'm not sure, but I think the source for that chiyuv is Hilchos Tefillah. Person has a chiyuv to daven. Machlok is showing him how exactly the gedorim of that chiyuv is. I think, again, I don't know, I've been thinking about it for a while. I think that it's a chiyuv is the shortest of Hilchos Tefillah.
Correct.
So how big is the eight? Sorry, then I'm allowed to take to Hashem. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Nothing too small for you to talk to Hashem about. I think we have a chiyuv to talk to Hashem. Again, whether that's tefillah, exactly where that fits into the entire spectrum of Hilchos Tefillah. You know what? Just start doing it. With.
No, but if it's a chiyuv, it's easier to do it, because then all of a sudden.
Fine, whatever makes it easier for you to get in touch with. But I'm just saying, as a hagdomah to the hagdomahs, he's going to give his five hagdomahs. I'm just saying, one of the things gets in the way of all these hagdomahs is the little things we believe are not. But Hashem is so big, he can do what he wants, even make himself very small. Mashpile, how does the pasuk go? Who mashpile as atzmo? He lowers himself to look at Shemayim V'aretz. Shem has no problem dealing with the Beitzi Kinim. Beitzi Kinim are not too small for Hashem. You know, the eggs of lice are not too small for Hashem. Your kid has lice, that Hashem put them there, not the neighbor's daughter. In Hilchas Hishtadlus, she should probably do something about it. But yeah, that's all. Nothing too small for Hashem because of his greatness. You start working on that, you realize everything is concerned, and the nakuda you made is unbelievably insightful. The little thing to Hashem is not, I'm dealing with little things. When the Chofetz Chaim's playing ball with a little kid and making him happy, that's no different to the Chofetz Chaim than dealing with the decree of the Russian government to close the yeshivas. For the Chofetz Chaim, they are called nothing too big, nothing too small. It's the same importance.
But when you go to the Rav, you ask a real little thing, and he looks at you, and you can feel that he's
totally engaged.
So he explains it.
Because that's because he's a big man. That's because he's big. Big people, nothing's too small for big people. Rapinkos was very big on giving over the shtickel, and he lived his life like that. It was nothing too small for him, nothing. Nothing. He would go to untold ends to deal with something which we could have dealt with very quickly by just, totally involved. Get on a plane, go overseas, fly somewhere. You could have made a call. No, it's not the same. But it's not such a big thing. No such thing as it's not such a big thing. Okay. So that's a different sugi about how you have to conduct and do chesed, whatever.